Hey, it's Craig and Steven from the podcast Meet Me at the Table. Both Steven and I started this podcast to meet people where they are.
You're about to listen to this segment called Everyone Has a Story, where we hear from the many people that have been silenced from the church.
This segment is to continue to meet people where they are and give people the opportunity to speak about why they left the church.
We are here to listen and look forward to hearing your story. We'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Craig Seibert.
I'm Steven DeWayness.
And we're the hosts of Meet Me at the Table, which is a podcast that focuses mainly on Christianity and how it's lost its personal connection to the people. But we want to leave the table open and discuss other areas as well. We're going to tackle issues like women in leadership roles in the church, acceptance of those in the LGBTQ community, or racial indifferences. We've set the table for all sides to be heard in a respectful manner.
Yes, Christopher Aker from Knoxville, Tennessee. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm very glad to be here with you guys tonight. I grew up in a suburb of New Orleans, Louisiana, and I am the older of two children. I have one younger brother. We moved just a few times as we were growing up, all pretty much east from Louisiana. We went to Alabama, and then we went to Georgia, and it was all basically due to my dad's job. And then my parents and brother still live there in Georgia, but now I live in Knoxville, Tennessee. I did graduate from Georgia Tech before I moved up to Tennessee with a degree in civil engineering back in 2000. I worked in that profession for about a decade, and then I decided to change careers. And so I went back to grad school and got a master's degree in information science and became a librarian. So
wow. That is a left turn.
Quite a leap. Yeah. So now I'm a librarian at the University of Tennessee here in Knoxville. And I'm married to Elizabeth. I have one son named Luke, who is 7. And so that's basically me in a nutshell.
Well, so this podcast is about kind of the church story, but it's nice to know a little bit about you and your background. That kind of gives us some insight as to what we're going to talk about going further. But let's dig into that. And we kind of talked briefly before we got into the room, that, you know, there, deconstruction is the big word, that we hear a lot. But tell us about your experience in the church, like, you know, what denomination you were going to, what was your involvement in the church, et cetera.
Sure. I was born into the Southern Baptist Church. I like to say that I went to church since 9 months before I was born. And I attended Southern Baptist churches pretty much all my life until up through around 2010, I guess, would be when I ended up leaving the Southern Baptist Church. And that was shortly after I moved to Tennessee, and after moving up here and meeting my wife. We ended up going to a small house church for about 7 or 8 years here in Knoxville. And then after that church kind of disbanded in an amicable and really the best way a church could break up, we went to an Anglican church after that for just a couple of years, 2.5 maybe at the most, I think. And I'll explain more of this later, but that Anglican church is where I ended up leaving church completely. My wife as well, the whole family. But throughout my life, I was involved in ministries in many different ways over the years, like Sunday school teacher and small group leader and just all kinds of volunteer things. But the biggest thing, the way I was involved was in the music ministry. I'm a pianist, and I've always played in either just playing the piano on Sundays, playing in the bands on Sundays, accompanying choirs or singers and things like that. So that was really my main mode of volunteering within the church.
Now, let me ask you real quick. I mean, you're in our room with three musicians here ourselves. was music what kept you in the church longer?
No, in fact, um, I I stopped playing on a regular basis pretty much when I left the Southern Baptist Church. I did play a little bit in that house church that I mentioned that I went to for about 7 years, but it wasn't a regular thing. And then I definitely didn't play with the Anglican Church, but I think after I left the Southern Baptist Church, I was just kind of burned out on being in the band on a, you know, every week and rehearsing every Wednesday. And
no, that's,
I was ready for a break.
It's a very demanding and unappreciated role mm-hmm. being part of in the church is being on the worship team, because you're dedicating not just your Sundays, you're literally dedicating your Monday through Saturday of trying to learn that. And then you go on Sunday, and then after you play with the lights or with whatever, it's, you feel exhausted being up on stage after that. But so I know that feeling. Mm-hmm. I know Craig does as well.
Yeah. And before I jump into that other question, when you say house church, are you talking about they actually met at a house?
Yes.
Okay.
It was very small. Like if everyone were there, then we'd probably have 20 people, which can be kind of crowded in a house, you know, in someone's living room. Yeah. But it was a house church until we kind of merged with another very, very small church. And then we were just really too big to be in a house. And maybe at that point, if we had everyone, it was 30 people. So it never was very big.
Yeah.
Before you go to the next question, Craig, question for you. Now, part of this podcast is also figuring out a path forward. And is there a way for, you know, instead of just always deconstructing, can we reconstruct our Christianity? And do you see with doing the house style church, did you ever see a stronger connection to God because it was a little bit smaller and more of like a small group setting? Was that any different, or did it become, you know, is it the same outcome?
Oh, I certainly think that it was definitely a more intimate and more family oriented. And I feel like I kind of call those 7 years in the house church my Baptist detox period, because it was just so, it was so different from what I had been used to. I was always in these big mega churches type of Baptist churches. And this was totally not that. And so, you know, it was a very open discussion. People would share, you know, kind of all around the circle. We had a pastor, but he didn't preach a sermon. He just kind of led the discussion and everyone chimed in. And it was really a great experience. I definitely would recommend it for anyone looking for something that's maybe a change from the mega church style.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
But the problem is they're hard to find.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the problem with these house churches is they're hard to find. You know, they can fly under the radar and you don't know where they are unless you're invited.
So you left the house church and went to kind of a mid-sized church. So what ultimately led you to make that decision to leave? And definitely go into detail here if you want to, you know, what pushed you to that? Was there a single event, or was it just kind of, like you said, you were getting burnt out at that point?
Well, there was a long process, but it did culminate in a single event. But if I had to kind of look back on my life and my deconstruction of my faith, I would say it began sometime around 2006, 2007. And I would definitely not have had the words back then to describe what was happening. But I, knowing now what if I knew then what I know now, I would definitely have said that was deconstruction. It was beginning at that point. The church was I call that particular Baptist church was a mega church wannabe, because it wasn't really, really big, but it was very that much that style of the big band and the lights and the, smoke and mirrors.
Production was grand.
Yes. Very much a big production. And that in fact was what really got me started to get disillusioned with that whole model, just the production aspect. And I started thinking, you know, did Jesus really suffer that grueling death for this on Sunday? And it just was just a big show. And I thought there's gotta be something more. So I started doing a little research and reading authors like Wayne Jacobson and John Zins, and started learning more about the small house church movement. which, you know, I think we see modeled in the New Testament. But I didn't know how to get involved in something like that. But, you know, around that time, I then moved to Tennessee, and that was for a new job unrelated to church. And then met my fiance, who would become my wife, and she was actually in a house church. So I thought, hey, this is perfect. You know, this is what I've been wanting. And so, we started going to that church after we got married. And like I said earlier, that was my Baptist detox period, because I would meet with the pastor, kind of about maybe on a weekly basis, just for something that I would later learn is called spiritual direction. And we'd just meet together and we'd talk, and I would just talk about things that I was, you know, thinking about.
And this is the house church?
Yeah, at the house church.
Okay.
And we would meet, you know, in his office. And so during this time, I really learned to listen to the Spirit, and which, you know, I would probably now call that listening to my own inner voice and desires. And so I stopped being kind of so firm on beliefs and started questioning things more, like hell and eternal conscious torment and inerrancy of the Bible. and then, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the church, it ended up disbanding because the pastor was showing signs of dementia, and so he couldn't really lead things. And we decided, you know, this church has lived a good life. It's served a lot of people over its 20 or 25 year history. It's time to, you know, for us all to go our separate ways. So we did. And my wife and I, moved to a local Anglican church here. This is an Anglican church within the Anglican Church of North America, ACNA, not the Episcopal. And it was at that Anglican church that I learned about spiritual direction, which, you know, I mentioned I met with that pastor at the house church years before, but I didn't know what that was we were doing. It was just kind of meeting together and talking through stuff. Well, I learned that's actually spiritual direction. And, I decided, you know, I want to do that myself. I want to be a spiritual director. So I did. I went to school for 2 years and got trained to be a spiritual director.
Wow.
I started meeting with a spiritual director there at the Anglican church, who was one of the priests. He was my own spiritual director. And then I also started meeting with people within the church as a spiritual director. And I think that during those 2 years of being at the Anglican church and going through that spiritual direction training, I think my deconstruction really kind of kicked into high gear through that time, where I was really kind of undergoing a deep spiritual formation and learning and questioning. And so, you know, I decided that I no longer believed in hell, and I no longer believed in biblical inerrancy, and I no longer believed in the deity of Jesus. And I was hinting a lot of these things in my spiritual direction sessions with my director, who's one of the priests. And he would always just kind of push back on me and say, well, you know, the historic beliefs of the church are, you know, that whatever, you know, fill in the blank, the Orthodox beliefs are what they are. And it's been that way for 2000 years. Yeah, I later learned that's definitely not true, that the beliefs have been all over the place in the life of the church. And, you know, there's no real consistent view on much of anything within the church over the 2000 year period. But he didn't, you know, didn't want to hear that. So he would kind of push back. But, you know, it really hit the fan, I think, when around Good Friday of 2020. So this was like in the early days of the pandemic.
Yeah.
It seems like
20 years ago.
I know, it feels like so long ago, but gosh, it was only, you know, a little over 2 years ago. And I posted something on Facebook just as I was processing, and I just felt like I needed to say, you know, today's Good Friday, the day Jesus was crucified. And I just, we need to understand this, you know, this event correctly. God did not kill Jesus to satisfy divine wrath and retribution for our sins. You know, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against him. And then I went on and said things like, you know, God forgives unconditionally. He doesn't expect a sacrifice to forgive. And you know, you need go tell that good news to someone else, you know, that you're included. You don't have to do anything. No repentance, no nothing. Just you're included. Well, someone in the church,
didn't go over well, huh?
Someone in the church decided that I had crossed the line, and they went to the priest who was my spiritual director to express concern. And so he emailed me and expressed his concern after he read the post, and he asked for some clarification, which I happily gave. Basically, it was just more, you know, additional expansion on what I had written on Facebook. And his response to that email, my response to him, was his response was basically, oh, it's worse than I thought.
we really
need to talk. I'm not even sure you can be a spiritual director here anymore at this church. And so we met with him, my wife and I, and the head priest, and we had a long discussion, and basically it was like, you know, the Inquisition. They became so like the Grand Inquisitors, asking us about what we believed about this and that, and the meeting kind of ended up with him saying, or both the priests, both of us saying that we don't think you can't be involved in any ministries here anymore, Christopher. You can't be a spiritual director here anymore because I don't trust your doctrine. You can't lead a small group here anymore. You can't share in any group setting about your beliefs because they are heretical. And so
heretical. They use the word heretical. Yeah, interesting.
Because they're, you know, against the orthodox beliefs that the ACNA, at least the Anglican Church of North America, is very conservative in their orthodox beliefs. I would not say the Episcopal Church is that way, but so they said, you know, you can't be involved in anything anymore. And so within a couple of weeks, we went from being very involved and well-respected members in the church to completely being pushed out.
Being outcast.
Yeah. They, of course, said, you're welcome to continue to worship here. And I thought, why? You know, how would we continue to worship here after this?
Yeah.
I mean, I doubt he would even give me communion if I walked up front, you know, every Sunday. But it was gut-wrenching. It was like a breakup and a betrayal all kind of wrapped up in one.
Well, and I understand that feeling too about walking through the door and feeling not welcome. I mean, we've even mentioned that in either the last podcast or last podcast and the one before it. I think that Stephen and I have talked about that, you know, once you're made to be on the outside, walking back through those same doors is almost impossible. I mean, I still feel like if I walked through the doors of the church that I left, and I still kind of left on decent terms, I still wouldn't feel comfortable. I wouldn't feel comfortable sitting there and talking to the people that I talked to before. So I know exactly how you feel on that one.
It's kind of like walking. And now that I've been out of it for over 2 years, it's like I've walked out into a giant field and have so much space to move around in. Why would I jump back into that box again?
Yeah. You know?
Well, yeah. Stephen, is that Nick's your next question?
Yeah, yes, I was going to, though, like when I'm thinking all this, or when I'm hearing you speak, I was thinking about, like, I think it was something we discussed in one of our first podcasts, where there's certain words in the Bible that we will say, well, it means this in Hebrew, and we're like, oh, this is great. Like, love means agape love, and it means other things. But we look at other words like hell, and we don't look at what's the real meaning of the word hell in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. That doesn't fit our beliefs, so we're just not going to talk about that. But love, right. We can talk about love. Mm-hmm. But also something I've been recently talking about is American Christianity. I was talking to someone from Britain today about this. American Christianity is majorly fear-based rather than love-based. And imagine what Christianity would look like today. And I think I actually mentioned this last one too, if it was actually love-based, instead of talking just straight out about hell and saying, hey, you're going to go to hell, and teaching our kids this, like, hey, you're going to go to hell if you don't love God. What if we taught our kids about love of Christ first?
Yes.
And then when they're old enough, talking about hell. And I was just thinking about this when you're talking about like other ways of thinking outside of the box of what American Christianity and even in Christianity in general across the world, like, why can't we step outside and look at that? Why can't we deconstruct what we've been always raised to believe? But yes, yeah. The next question you already answered. So if you want to expand.
Hold on. I know we're not going to ask it verbatim. No. And this is kind of one of those things where we will go off the rails. Is there a type of church that you think you would want to go back to? Like, if you could construct the church that you would feel comfortable in, what would that look like? And you don't have to go too deep on it, but I mean, is there a church you think that has an open enough mind that you could walk back into at this point?
We've been out of church period since around April 2020.
Yeah.
And it's really very nice not to be wrapped up in that world anymore. Sometimes we do think about trying to find one that could work, and we have looked at the United Church of Christ here in Knoxville. We've looked at Unitarian Universalists. I think probably the Unitarian Universalists would probably be the closest, because they kind of let you believe whatever you want. And as long as you believe in their tenets of, inherent worth of every person and justice and all those kind of things, mm-hmm. which are, really good things, you can come, and they don't care what you believe otherwise. But honestly, we love just not having anything to do on Sundays. We got to the point where we were going out and hiking in all our state parks, when the pandemic was in its height, where we couldn't go anywhere anyway. We just went out and hiked and we walked and we loved it. And I have since, in those last 2 years, found so much more connection with our Creator in creation than I ever did in a building.
If you feel the same way I do about what you just said, it almost hurts me sometimes to say that. Yeah. It almost hurts me because I spent so many years in getting up Sunday morning and going to church, and that's the thing you did. It almost hurts me sometimes to say in the back of my head, I've been really enjoyed Sundays, or just like you said, not even necessarily Sundays, if it's a Saturday or if it's an afternoon after work, going out and going to a park and going for a hike and enjoying the nature and enjoying the world and the things that, like you said, the Creator put there for us.
Right.
But I still have that tinge in the back of my head that says you're not going to church on Sunday.
That's what we've been told every Sunday. I mean, you're supposed to go, you're supposed to tithe, you're supposed to ask for forgiveness in every single thing you do. And if you don't go on Sunday, then you're a sinner. And God forbid you don't go on Wednesday services or youth group or what it is. I mean, that's a really good perspective to think about that. Maybe sometimes one of the churches that I'm listening to right now virtually, they had talked about rest, and on the seventh day we rest, and they mentioned saying, hey, guess what? Next Sunday, we're taking off. Go do whatever you want to go do. Go rest.
Wow.
Do not sign in. Do not listen. We're not going to be here. We are all going to do as a congregation and go out and go do our own thing to find rest in God, whatever that is. And I was like, what is this?
That's great.
This is foreign. I was like, that was awesome. Thinking outside of the box, not following the same Christian evangelical agenda that we're supposed to. It was just amazing to hear.
Yeah. Let me tell you, just as a follow-up to the, wanting to go out in nature and experience God out there, on the 1 year anniversary of the day that we had that terrible meeting with our priests, so that was like April of 2021, my wife recommended that I take that day off from work and go out into a park or whatever, just spend some time out in nature. Because we had been reading about trauma and how your body remembers that trauma. And when, you get to that 1 year anniversary, I probably don't want to be sitting in my office when all that grief comes back, you know? So she said, take a day off, go out and go out to Norris State Park or whatever, and just sit out there, which I decided that's a great idea. And I did that. And, I was sitting out by one of the creeks in the park and in the, you know, forested area, listening to the birds chirp, and this massive grief just came flooded out. And like, I just, it just grieved, and I cried like big, heavy tears, more than I've ever cried probably. And definitely more than I cried about this experience in the preceding year. And it just poured out. And ever since then, I realized this setting, this place out in nature is where, you know, the birds and the bees and the trees and the creek will hold space for me, and I can be myself and grieve, and I will never not be judged, you know, which I could never expect in a church building. So
not even close.
Which is extremely sad in itself.
Yeah, I know.
Extremely. Before I get to the last question, I now, Christopher, I've seen you very heavily involved on some of the deconstructing Facebook pages. Has that helped you during your deconstructing journey, having those pages to realize that you're not alone in this community? Because I feel like for me, when I left the church, that community felt so enclosed. Now, the algorithm of social media completely helped that. This is where I feel like the algorithm of social media is great, because you do see, once you get on one Facebook page, more populated and show, you're like, wow, I'm not alone in this journey of deconstructing. Now, I might be alone in my inner circle, you know, only having, you know, really Craig and a couple of others that have left the church. But, you know, my inner circle that I thought was my norm, they're completely gone now. So has the social media and those pages helped you in your deconstructing journey?
It definitely has. I think the group that I got involved with early on in, you know, a few years ago, I say, was it's called Messy Conversations. And, you know, comes from Jason Elam's Messy Spirituality podcast. And that's what really kind of helped me. That group provided a group for me to process things that I was going through and who had already gone through it or was also going through the same things. And it was just that solidarity and that comfort of being in a tribe that at least understands you that was so crucial. And I would definitely recommend it for anyone going through this. Don't do it alone. And that's why I really kind of why I decided to become a spiritual director, because I feel like after having gone through this myself and having my first, you know, first spiritual director at that priest not being a supportive spiritual director for me through deconstruction, I want to be a spiritual director that lets people question, lets people doubt, and lets them go where they go, wherever they decide to go with this, and not push them in any particular direction. My current spiritual director is so much better than that last one. She just lets me go wherever I want to go and talk about things. And she asks good probing questions and makes me think. And, you know, that's what a good spiritual director does. It's, we don't direct. I mean, the name is kind of a bad name for it because we don't really direct. We just let people go and we just get to witness what God's doing in their lives.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And I agree. I think the pages are help. They help. And if you're not part of a deconstructing page, find one on Facebook. They're easy. Just type it in and you'll find them.
Yeah. I like to be able to give back and help people now that I feel like I've gone so far down deconstruction now that I have some wisdom to help other people go through it now.
Yep. Yep. Well, thank you so much for joining. I'm going to ask you this last question. Christopher, if you could say one thing to the church, what would it be?
I would say, I honestly think that for the most part, you, the church, mean well, but you really have a lot of growing up to do. you need to learn how to be reflective and evolve and repent in the, you know, the most literal definition of, you know, change your mind. You need to be humble. I just think that the church is stuck in very childish patterns of thinking it knows everything and not understanding how much it doesn't know and needs to learn. Now, see that kind of stuff in my own 7-year-old, you know, it's just like, I know everything already. Why do I need to go to school? But, you know, that's just a very early stage of consciousness and just doesn't seem interested in progressing. But I would say stop, reflect, you know, be humble. You will learn that there are things that you need to change and grow and progress on. And maybe then people won't want to leave you so much.
All majorly important things.
Yeah, Christopher, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Yeah, sure. If somebody did want to reach out to you and speak to you about guidance, you know, and what you've kind of talked about here, do you have a place where they could reach out to you directly?
Yeah, you definitely can find me on Facebook, Christopher Aker, E-A-K-E-R. My website for spiritual direction ministry is called steppingstoneslife.com.
Okay.
steppingstoneslife.com. And definitely would love to talk to anyone about spiritual direction or deconstruction or just connect on Facebook.
Cool. We'll actually throw that in the notes and put some links out there to that website and everything. But thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it. Great insight and a great closing on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed it, guys. Thanks.